It's now time for the MLB.com Cut Forecast. Cut Forecast. The Cut Forecast. It's a cast from Cut Four. Here it is.
Hello and welcome to the Cut Forecast. I'm Dakota Gardner. I am joined, as always, by Jenna Kaneko.
Hey, what's up?
And this week, Ian Kay.
Hi, everyone.
We have a great show for you. This is our 20th episode. Did you guys realize that?
Wow.
Number 20.
Very exciting.
Very exciting.
Yes.
I'd say on the list of things that are exciting, maybe the only thing that is more exciting is the birthday of our country, and that is July 4th, which is this weekend. So we decided to pool those two things together, and we're going to do a July 4th themed 20th episode of the Cut Forecast. It is beyond exciting. But before we get into the nitty-gritty of maybe some recent presidents, maybe some founding father facts from our own Gemma Kaneko, maybe even which baseball players might make the best president. I don't know. It's election season. Don't rule anything out. But before we get to all that,
is it election season? That election's like a year and a half away.
It's always election season. It's never not election season in the United States of America.
That is true. And actually, this is the beginning of our pivot into real presidential coverage, because I know if you're listening to the Cup Forecast, you really want to get more coverage of the presidential election. I think that's something that you feel there isn't enough of. So that's what we're here to do. But before we get to that, we have some programming notes. Next week, we'll have a normal show. But then the week following, we are going to have an additional bonus all-star show from Cincinnati, Ohio.
What?
Beautiful Cincinnati, Ohio. It's going to be very exciting. We have a lot planned for that. A lot planned for that.
So much planned. We've really just been spending the last 3 to 4 months nonstop planning for the all-star show.
I mean, it's big. I don't want to say that it's bigger than, you know, the signing of the Declaration of Independence, but it's up there. It's up there, the planning that we have for that. So definitely stay tuned. We'll do a normal show that week as well, but we're going to have the big, epic Cut Forecast from the All-Star Game. Be excited. If you're in Cincinnati, keep an eye out for us. We're doing it the Sunday of the All-Star Sunday, whatever that is. That's the 12th, I think.
I believe that's All-Star Workout Day presented by Gatorade.
Yes.
Gatorade All-Star Workout Day.
Perfect.
I think that's what it is.
Good work. So Ian's good for us there. So we'll be at Fan Fest, and you can stop by and say hello. And we encourage you to do that. But that's enough of programming. It's time to get to our first America-themed activity. These activities, this is like a cruise. Activity.
With our cruise director.
Cruise director,
Dakota Gardner.
And that is our feature that we debuted last week, which means that it's not quite a surprise. And that is the Cut Forecast Pop Quiz. Now, in the Cut Forecast Pop Quiz, the way this works is that I arbitrarily decide on something to torture the two people to my left with. And then they have to answer, and the prize is that they get to go second when we sum up the podcast in the form of a tweet at the end of the show.
You know, it's funny that you say this shouldn't be a surprise, because, like, I listened last week when I wasn't on and Bertha was on, and you did the pop quiz, and I was like, wow, he got them so good. I'm so glad that that wasn't me sitting there. And then when we sit down right now, I realize that, like, that wasn't going to be a one-time thing. So, a true pop quiz.
True pop quiz. All right, now this one, not super baseball themed, I will admit that. However, it is America themed, and thus you should both be great at it. Now, last week we did a spelling bee, and so we're not going to do a spelling bee this week. This week we're going to do sort of a, are you familiar? There's like an improv game where you tell a story one word at a time. Do you know what that is?
Where, like, yes.
I would say before, and you might say
the,
and you might say
question.
Great. That's a terrible story.
Okay.
But that's the idea. So we're going to do something similar to
this.
That
is going to go great.
Although
it's going to be really good.
Well, here's the thing. I obviously, as that example illustrated, we're not maybe the most creative people at coming up with our own stories. So instead, we're gonna
Gemma just made a face. Your word was the.
I know, but you need to have some connective words in a sentence. It can't just it's all
true.
Be nouns and verbs all
this
the
is,
time.
In fact, for those of you listening,
you gotta have some articles. All right.
If you're interested in improv, that's very important. Everybody can't be a lead character. You have to have characters.
I was always taught in improv, you got to make your partners look good.
Gemma gets it. Okay.
So I'm here for you is what I'm
thanks,
saying,
Gemma.
And whatever is about to happen.
Okay, so the Cup 4 pop quiz this week is involving our national anthem, and it is this. You will take turns saying one word of the national anthem in order, back and forth.
They have to be in order?
They have to be in order.
And just rock it.
Essentially, the idea is that you'll be performing the national anthem together one word at a time. All right?
No. Okay.
You don't have to sing it. I'm not going to force you to sing it because that would be cruel. My rule here is I'm not going to make you guys do anything I wouldn't myself do, and I would not sing the national anthem right now. So that's why I'm not making you do it. So you guys can decide who wants to go first with this one. You have the easy one. So we'll go, and then if you screw up, then you will have lost. And if you make it through the whole thing, then I'll do my tweet first. How's that sound?
That's great. This is great. So it's us versus you right now.
If we make it through the whole thing, Dakota should have to sing God Bless America.
Agreed. I agree with this. I agree with these terms.
Unnecessary pause that nobody asked for in the middle of the podcast. We perform God Bless America every single time.
That was a hot take. All right. All right. Who wants to go first?
You go ahead.
All right. Here we go. The Star Spangled Banner, the national anthem.
Oh,
say,
can
you
see
by
the
dawn's
early
light
what
so
proudly
we
hail
at
the
twilight's
last
gleaming
whose
bright
stars
whose broad stripes and bright stars.
Did she say?
She screw
said
up
bright.
First?
She said bright.
Yeah, she said bright.
Okay. Yes.
So Jeff got it wrong.
Three.
Ian wins. Ian gets to go second in the tweets.
And let it be said, let it be on record that I prefer America the Beautiful anyway, so don't care.
Yeah, it's all about Stars and Stripes forever. All about Stars and Stripes forever. Just gonna say. Ian, what's your favorite patriotic song?
This land is your land.
Oh,
that's good.
That's a good choice.
That's actually,
All right, well done. Mm-hmm. See, we went for the more generically patriotic, but you're
like
populist anthem.
Yeah.
Yes. Yes. That is really good.
Woody Guthrie originally?
Yes.
Okay.
Good job. All right. Continuing.
That could be the song of next week.
Yeah. Yeah. Next week we'll perform this.
This is my favorite. Intro. Don't ask me to go word for word.
Next week is Bohemian Rhapsody. Okay. which should be the national anthem. All right. That's a hot take. Okay. Okay, so let's get into the first of these really important topics that we address here weekly on the Cut Forecast, and that is the Washington Nationals recently announced that they are adding a president to their racing presidents at their ballpark. This is absolutely a national institution, and I don't mean that in the pun sense of it being a national. I mean, legitimately, this is a national institution, the racing presidents in Washington, D.C. So they added Calvin Coolidge, Silent Cal, and we all thought that maybe an interesting choice. Maybe it wouldn't have been the first president you would think of to add to the Washington Nationals mascot race. Granted, you know, they're all great. I'm an avowed lover of Teddy Roosevelt, but who might be the president you would want to add to the racing president's fixture at the ballpark? Ian, since you won, we're going to make you go first on this just to do it. Why not?
Wait, that wasn't the deal.
No, you get to go last for the tweet.
Oh, I get to tweet last.
Tweet last.
Good.
Yes.
This is
good. Yeah, you get to go first here.
I'll take that.
Yeah.
Okay. So which racing president do you want to see added to the racing presidents?
Well, I went through all 40... however many presidents there are.
And I lost the national anthem thing somehow.
Who's counting? I went through all of the presidents that have existed, and I had a strong contender.
Okay.
I think that Lyndon Baines Johnson, LBJ himself, is the most deserving for several reasons.
Okay.
First of all, he was a big dude. He was like 6'4".
He was very imposing. People were like afraid of him.
Yes. For many reasons.
Yes.
The racing presidents are larger than life. Okay. So, like, I think that some of the real presidents, I'm not an authority on presidential heights, but, you know, they may have been average-sized, and they still have these oversized mascots. So if you're going to have an LBJ one, that thing would be, like, 15 feet tall to tower over the other presidents. LBJ was not afraid to use his imposing stature. There's many stories of that. Also, LBJ known for getting what he wanted, even if it took some unsavory tactics. That's kind of like the theme of the president's race.
Yeah, yes. That is a great point.
Mm-hmm. Tripping, props, you know, running around in non-authorized racing areas. Like, the rules are skirted early and often in a president's race, and LBJ certainly was no stranger to that. How far he was really willing to go depends on where you come down on various JFK assassination theories.
It is the official stance of the Cut Forecast that Lee Harvey Oswald acted alone. I just would like to say that for anybody listening.
I'm not
maybe any CIA people listening, anybody like that. That is our official stance.
I'm just saying that rumors abound.
You're just asking questions. That's
I'm
all.
Just asking questions.
Questions. Feel free to visit Ian's Microsoft Paint-laden Tumblr, in which he'll walk you through
Guys,
all
of this. The arrows in my Tumblr don't lie.
Okay, well, LBJ is a great choice for Maybe. All of the reasons that you have yes. enumerated for us. But Gemma, do you have anybody who could, who? I mean, I don't,
Ooh,
it sounds like you're not going to be able to
talk
about
LBJ.
That,
well,
but,
you know, also, LBJ did play baseball as
that's
a kid.
True. That's a good
he was the ringer on a team of brothers.
See, this is why we
did not know.
This is why we keep Gemma around, is mm-hmm. for these presidential facts.
Facts.
My choice is even better than I want.
Well, I don't know if I have anyone who could beat LBJ from, like, a physical perspective, like, who could actually outrace him. Because mm-hmm. I do believe he'd take at least two of the presidents out before the race even started.
Yeah.
But I had a couple choices. You know, I like James Garfield. He's probably one of my favorite presidents.
Really?
He's great. I don't know
way
how...
to go the obvious choice.
I don't
That's
know how well
choice.
He
That's
would do in the president's race. However, he was America's first ambidextrous president. So I was just thinking about ambidextrous pitchers, ambidextrous right. presidents, but he would just be racing, so it probably wouldn't be that useful of a talent. Then I thought of Martin Van Buren just because I thought it would be really funny to see a caricature of Martin Van Buren.
Good
that
point.
Would just make me laugh. One of the campaign songs against him just made fun of his clothes all the time and, like, referred to his shirt as, like, too, like, not fluffy, but it's like the Seinfeld fluffy shirt.
like the pirate shirt.
Yeah, the pirate shirt. And I think that would be great to see on a president. But I my ultimate choice was Dwight Eisenhower.
Oh.
Because he really loved baseball, mostly, mm-hmm. which is why I think Silent Cal is a good choice, because Calvin Coolidge really liked baseball. But he said, when he did not make the baseball team at West Point, that it was one of the greatest disappointments of his life, maybe the greatest. In his whole life, the saddest, he was the most sad about not being on the baseball team at West Point.
Wow.
So we should give him some closure on that. Let him be a racing president.
Yeah, I think that would be good. I mean, he would also warn about the dangers of the mascot industrial complex, which would be helpful.
Yes.
So
I've long been concerned with the growing threat.
It'd be helpful to have him there for that,
to
for that attribute.
To quiet and kind mm-hmm. warnings about yeah. it.
I think that's a good choice.
Yeah.
Sadly, you're both wrong, as always, on the podcast. You're wrong. I went similar route as Ian did. I thought that most of these races, they don't really end the way that a normal race would. They often involve, you know, secret maneuverings and various sort of backroom deals and, you know, oftentimes things that are not necessarily within the realm of, let's say, the laws of the racing mascots.
I'm really nervous.
And for that reason, I feel like the perfect racing mascot is Richard Milhouse.
Oh. Yes, of course, of course.
And I think that that is exactly who we need. Because is it Tricky Dick? That's his nickname. And so, like, right there, you already have a perfect mascot ethos and attitude.
Mm-hmm.
He would have no problem taking out the rest of these presidents and, like, just tackling them or doing whatever needs to be done. We have already, it has been well established that he knows how to keep secrets, which is important for this. So that's why I feel like Richard Nixon is the perfect choice. Now, I also thought, obviously, Barack Obama would be really fun to have.
He would.
I also thought that, you know, maybe Andrew Jackson would be very harsh. He would be very into the race factor.
Like, I would like to see Andrew Jackson go toe-to-toe with LBJ.
That's
I would
thing,
be really
like,
interested
you want to
in
see
that.
That. Like, we all want to know
mascot
who would
style,
win fight.
Real life style, just give them
I also
canes,
thought
see what happens.
Really fun choice, Bill Clinton.
Yes.
Just because he'd
Absolutely.
Be very personable
he
with all
have,
the
like,
other
a
mascots.
Big, squishy saxophone.
Yes, he could.
Yes.
And then, you know, if we didn't even want to necessarily keep it to actual presence, we could have Jed Bartlett from The West Wing. He could maybe be involved. This, because these are, I just threw my pen across the room, but these are
fired up. That part.
So excited. Ah!
Yeah, no, but so that's my choice. Ultimately, though, I settled on Richard Nixon.
I like it, but there are a lot of fans at home who rely on various recordings. They're not in the stadium. And when Nixon races and there's some omissions on those recordings,
that's
where they went, might be kind of hard to keep track of his record.
I mean, that could be how he ultimately wins. Like, maybe radio listeners would hear him as a winner, where, you know, like certain debates he was involved in, people who listened to it on the radio would be like, oh, he clearly won, where people who were watching it would say maybe the more photogenic presidents and think they clearly won that race.
He loved baseball as well. That was like one of his great passions in life.
How is it... Is it aerodynamically helpful or harmful to race with both of your hands raised in the air, making a peace sign at all times?
That is exactly.
He has like a signature celebration that he goes to after he wins. And that is really important, as we've discussed in the past, as I try to sheepishly get my pen back from across the room.
He also ran a number of races, right? He had some endurance.
Yeah, a dude was an athlete, for sure. So,
I meant like in his presidential races.
Yes, he did. He did, yes.
Yeah, he did.
I mean,
lost a couple times.
As far as like athletic presidents go, I mean, some of them are already racing presidents. George Bush the first was pretty athletic.
The first of his name.
Yeah. we're now switching to the English tradition of
listen.
Okay, but
there's several British monarchs I would like to see in a presidential
race. Yes.
Yeah, I mean,
I would love, oh my God, why isn't there like for 4th of July? It should be like a King George versus everybody situation. That would be really fun to watch.
Sadly, though.
You just pelt him with tea bags the entire time. It would be really great.
That would be good. Like, they give him away at the gate.
Yes.
Everybody, I think as a nation, that would bring us together.
I agree.
So, just sort of building off of this, because we've discussed which presidents we'd want to see in the mascot race, which founding father? Now, we're going to expand the realm here a little bit bigger. It doesn't have to be a president necessarily. Which founding father, which framer of the Constitution, whatever your preferred terminology is, would you want if you were putting together a baseball team and you had to have, for whatever reason, one time-traveling founding father on your team for obvious reasons, really. Who would it be and why? And Gemma, we'll start with you.
Obviously, it would be John Jay.
Oh, okay.
It's easy.
New York represent.
Yes. And also, you know, writer of the Federalist Papers, partially, John Jay. Also, because I just assume that if there is also a professional baseball player named John Jay, there's got to be something going on with the
good
name.
Point. That's a fantastic point.
Yeah. I thought James Madison, but he's too short. He was too short. He wouldn't know. It would have been difficult.
A lot of the older president or framers were very short.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. Also, you know, he could just give impassioned pregame speeches about the nature of democracy in our government.
That's a good argument.
Yeah,
for a lot of
that.
someone's gonna just like try to teach you a whole new way of like parties and how we should govern ourselves. I don't know. He's got a school named after him. That's good.
John Jay, good choice. Mm-hmm. Ian, what do you have?
Again, I thought long and hard about this. My choice is John Hancock.
Okay.
He brings a lot of leadership abilities, president of the Continental Congress. You know, his leadership record is questionable, but he did hold the office. He did hold the post. Noted for his, we can say, resourcefulness.
Yes.
In terms of transporting certain items, which...
Why don't you elaborate, Ian? Why don't you elaborate on that one?
Look, I'm not going to say he was a smuggler. A lot of other people said he was a smuggler. He knew how to get things done. He knew how to get things, and he knew how to get things done on the base paths, you know, getting from point A to point B. Mm-hmm. I think he was strong there. Also, perhaps today, most known for his signature, did it for the fans.
It's
important, a fan favorite. Like,
very flamboyant, and we support that on the podcast.
Like, was really doing him before it was cool. Mm-hmm. You know, not maybe the most politically influential in getting the Declaration of Independence signed and written, but when you look at it, who's got the biggest signature?
That's all that matters.
So that is all that matters.
Everybody else signed the right way. He signed the fun way.
He signed his own way.
Yeah.
The bat flip of signatures of the Constitution. Yeah.
You know, so basically what we're saying is that he's Yasiel Puig.
Pretty much. In his
time.
In his time.
John Hancock is Yasiel Puig. That is the lesson of the Cut Four cast today.
Mm-hmm. That's my choice.
That's a good choice. So I exploited a loophole in the rules because this is what I do.
Couldn't see this.
Is there anything, if we're dealing with politics and the framing of the Constitution, is there really a more fitting thing to do than to exploit loopholes? And so I'm picking somebody who's not going to be a player. I'm picking a manager because I'm the general manager and I need somebody who can manage my team. Now, the first person I thought of was somebody who maybe like could think up like a lot of new ideas about things like defense, maybe some really cutting edge shifts, stuff along those lines. He could use the StatCast technology to help aid in his managerial decisions. And so the first person I thought of was Benjamin Franklin. That was like immediately where my mind went. But then I thought, you know what? No. Ben, he can run our analytics department. He's a little nerdy.
But wouldn't you want to see him do press conferences? Because I absolutely would.
I mean, he would certainly have very pithy retorts to the media. But, you know, what we need truly is a leader of men. And that is why I'm circling back to the one, the only, Bay, George Washington. Because one of the great military minds, so we know that he has just the strategy required to manage a team. We know that everybody respected him. They elected him the first president of the United States. And then they were like, you have to do it again, bro. And so he did it again.
And that was what they said, right?
Yeah, that was. If you actually go back, you can read about
it's
it.
In that HBO miniseries, John Adams. That's what.
But, like, that's the thing. People loved him so much. Like, he'd be sort of like the Joe Madden. Or maybe, and that's not true, because he's not as sort of esoteric. Maybe, I don't know who'd be like a good, maybe Tony La Russa. Maybe he's the Tony La Russa of the Founding Fathers.
This is an intriguing choice to pick such a strong and powerful manager. You know, that might put you in the Jerry DePoto category as the GM.
Yeah, I'd be worried. I mean, obviously, as also was seen in the HBO miniseries, John Adams, Paul Giamatti gets very upset when he is not elected the president and he has to be VP. And that could be you.
That could be
bitterly covered in smallpox scars in like a garden.
I'm happy. I'd be happy to let Washington take the reins of the team. Once I put the team together, you know what? You're the father of the country. You're also the father of our team. And I think that that's fine.
Strong wig game.
For sure.
That's a great point too.
On point.
Yeah. You know, this was a good debate. Again, I think that Washington is correct and you guys are wrong.
I think that we will see when all of our teams play and we'll find out.
That is a great point.
Who is the real winner?
We need to make this happen.
Yeah. Let's get
Washington, if you're listening.
/ ghost somehow, like.
Yeah.
Yeah.
We know that George Washington is a big fan of the Cut Four Cast.
I've been working on that ghost baseball idea for a while, so
I can't wait. I'm really excited.
Next week's podcast.
Ghost baseball.
Yeah, we're having a special edition for the All-Star Game, and then we're having also a special edition for the After.
Where we just have a seance and try to contact LBJ and ask him how he feels about being a racing president.
Can we take off these powdered wigs we've been wearing this
week? Oh, yeah. Good. Yeah. That's a good idea. Well, no, actually, because our next topic is perfectly suited for this.
Mm.
Which current major league... Now, we're really gonna go crazy with this one. All right, this is a little left field. To take a reference from our game, this one's out of left field. Which current major leaguer do you think would make the best president of the United States of America? Now, remember, the election is a long way away. This could happen, right? So like we could be beginning the snowballs roll down the hill into one of these players becoming a candidate for the presidency. So don't take your words too lightly. This is important.
Okay.
Let's be serious here. I know the two of you joke around all the time, but I want to be serious here. Which major leaguer would make the best president? Ian, what do you think?
So I know there's certain rules about where you have to be born to be the president, and what age you have to be, and things like that, but I think there's such an obvious candidate that we may have to make an exception for this. I haven't seen Salvador Perez's birth certificate. I've been led to believe he was born outside this country, but I think he is the best possible candidate, okay?
Okay.
As a catcher on the Royals, He has a ton of leadership ability, experience, a leader of men, you could say, the charisma, you can see it. Possibly, like, the most important thing by being the president is having those kind of qualities. You know, being able to rally consensus, to rally your base. We already know, if you've been following the all-star voting totals, he is eminently electable.
Yeah.
People will vote for Salvi Perez. If you've seen his Instagram game with Lorenzo Cain, you know that he can film a commercial. I think he's the man for the job in 2016. Right?
2016?
Yeah, 2016. Yeah, that's it.
Salvi 2016.
Okay.
My platform.
Who's his VP candidate? Who's he running with?
Well, obviously Lorenzo Cain.
Obviously.
That was persuasive. Yes.
Yeah.
Thank you.
That was persuasive.
That was like a stir. If you put some stirring music underneath it, that could have just been a campaign ad.
I'm gunning for that campaign manager.
Good. Yeah. Well, you're off to a good start for it, certainly. All right, Gemma, do you have something that can top that? I don't know that you do. But.
I mean, I feel like I had a couple of strong options, actually. Number one, another person who was not born in this country, and so we'd have to bend the rules a little bit for him to be elected president. But I would go with Russell Martin.
Yeah, I think we're suspending the rules.
Yeah, those suspending rules the rules. And age, because that's age is, fine. You know, got to be 35, older.
Right, it's tough.
It's tough.
Russell Martin.
Russell Martin. I went with Russell Martin because, again, he is the kind of person who has a great, he's supposed to be a great clubhouse guy.
Yeah.
He's supposed to be, like, really helpful and generous and, like, helping people with their game all the time. He does a lot of work. He studies a lot, but he also believes that his own game has a lot of, like a little bit of magic to it as well, which I think is important, an important level of belief to have. Mm-hmm. And he just makes people better from being around him and, like, playing with him, you know?
He's a very proud Canadian, though.
He also is a very proud Canadian. But here's the thing. Once upon a time, there was a governor of Michigan, Jennifer Granholm, who was Canadian, in fact. Mm-hmm. And, he is a very proud Canadian, so maybe I should just assume he's going to one day just take Stephen Harper's job. And
that's
that
the thing.
What happens instead?
I'd like to note that I lived in Michigan while Jennifer Granholm was governor and did not know she was Canadian.
Born in Vancouver. I think, I hope.
Ian, this is politically aware.
Hashtag stick to sports over here.
So my second candidate is because I did think the Canadian, because he is very proudly Canadian. And,
yeah,
you know,
that's my only worry.
I love Canada, so I'm happy
he might
that.
He might try to annex us into Canada.
Great. Do you want Michigan to be part of Canada?
Whoa,
not all of America. Not all of America.
Get out of the podcast right now.
Not all
right
of America.
Now.
Just my home state, Michigan, which is basically Canada anyway. So
this is the hottest thing.
Yeah, for real.
All of America should, it. Just annex Michigan. Everything else can remain American.
At state dinners.
Yes, that is what I want.
Maple syrup.
Maple syrup. Okay, anyway, my real candidate for president is Kutch.
Oh, you stole, that's just what
because,
I was gonna say.
Just because I feel like, we were talking about this earlier, that everyone likes him.
Yeah.
He's very smart. He's like very kind. He's very generous. Fans love him. I can't think of anyone I would personally be happier to vote for something.
I agree wholeheartedly. Yes. That's who I was going to say initially, is that, like, I don't think there is anyone who is a baseball fan who doesn't like Andrew McCutchen. I don't think that person exists. If you are listening, please feel free to tweet at Cut4 with the hashtag Cut4cast. Let us know if you're the person who doesn't like Andrew McCutchen. Maybe we'll interview you because you're the only person.
We'll make campaign ads directed towards explicitly you to change your mind.
But no,
he already had that Ellen appearance. It's like his Arsenio Hall moment, right?
Yes, he had that.
Exactly.
Yeah.
He would look great in a wig, one of those like George Washington.
Yeah, he could definitely pull that off.
Founding fathers-y wigs.
Yes.
So you know,
like better if he just grew back the dreadlocks. We all miss them.
That's true. But see, if he was president, he would know that. He would do the polling, and so he would.
You just get them back. Yeah, and he could be America's first dreadlock president. It would be awesome.
That would be awesome.
That would be amazing.
We're long overdue.
I know. It's time.
All right. I think we're all in support of the McCutchen presidency.
Yes. I don't know who his VP would be, though.
Yeah.
I feel like it would have to be someone maybe from the West Coast.
Why? Just to help carry
just to get the geographical, you know, you want to have that diverseness. Because I think if you live on the East Coast, you might feel a little bit closer to the Midwest. Right. You know, you'd want to get someone.
Yeah, I don't know.
Maybe someone from Arizona.
Who could Kutch go with from Arizona?
Randy Johnson. Former. He has the experience.
Yeah, he does.
Yeah, so, he does. You know,
like Barack Obama, inexperienced, had Joe Biden.
Yeah,
vice
that's
president.
Actually a pretty good idea.
Look at that.
It's a good ticket.
All right, if any...
Paul Goldschmidt
is another good one.
Do it like that.
That's another great choice.
Both constituencies. second.
Okay, so just so it, you know, if you're planning a run for any sort of public office, the Cut Forecast is available for political consultancy. So yeah, just want to let you know that while you're listening, that it, that is an option for you. Just to keep that in your mind.
We are fully campaign finance reforms may not apply.
No.
So if you need an endorsement, we are available.
We got you. Yes. We got you. Don't worry. We're listening. My since Kutch was rudely taken from
me
as a choice, I'm gonna walk you through a couple of the other ones that I thought of. David Wright, I thought obviously Captain America, natural fit there.
Yeah.
But then I thought, you know what? What about if we're gonna suspend these sort of birthplace rules and things like that? I thought, what if we get maybe Kutch is the VP, and what if the president is a leader of men, somebody with a fantastic track record of always having a clear head, even in moments of high pressure. Maybe somebody who, when the going is tough, is able to gather the troops around and deliver something like the St. Crispin's Day speech. Like, I'm talking about somebody who, let's say he steps to the plate in, I don't know, the eighth inning of the second game of the American League Championship Series against maybe the Detroit Tigers with the bases loaded. And maybe he hits a game-tying grand slam.
Well,
I'm talking, of course, of Sir David Ortiz, who I've now knighted.
I don't think you can be the president and be a knight. I don't think that's allowed.
Okay, but
also I can tell you about a huge, an important swing state whose vote he would not get. It's shaped like a mitten.
Yeah. Okay. Fair point. Fair point. He may not, and he also probably would lose New York.
Yeah, definitely.
Which has a lot of electoral votes, so that's not great. But then the other option I thought of, if we didn't want Big Poppy, is a similar leadership. Everybody respects him. Really smart. And I'm talking Yadier Molina.
You know what I think is interesting is that we all picked catchers.
Yeah.
At some point in our selection
process.
Yeah, we
all had catchers in the.
Yeah.
They're just it's the same reason a lot of catchers become managers. They have that calming sense on a pitching staff.
And there's also this big picture sense too.
Yeah,
you know, right. That instead of fixating on a single issue, it's the whole game.
They do a lot of scouting. There's a lot of like intangibles with a catcher that we're maybe only now starting to understand. A lot of that goes into
like, you know, they stare at the pitcher. It's kind of like staring at a teleprompter.
That's true.
Yeah.
Great point there. Gemma seems maybe a little bit more incredulous at that point. But you
just
know.
Imagining the pitcher just like holding cue cards for the catcher, like this is what's happening.
He's gonna look at a lot of things. Yeah. You know, he kind of stares in one direction for a long time.
Yes.
As do every other player on the field.
Well, and they're good. They have like good rapport because they have to talk to every hitter who comes up. They talk to the umpire. They talk to the
real
manager,
man of the people.
That's the thing. Like, there's a lot of people skills required to be a catcher.
So they could always have stump speeches that were like, "I was talking to a man from Arkansas the other day.
He was on the mound.
Let me tell you about Jim. Jim is a carpenter. And, that'd be great.
Yeah.
Okay, so we settled on maybe like somebody from the catcher world.
I think Yachty, we're long overdue for a president with a neck tattoo. Also,
that's a great point. That's a great
point. Always coming. Neck tattooed presidents are coming.
And then the other thing is, when he's done, his brothers right? can become the president.
Another dynasty.
Down the line. So like we have another sort of familial dynasty in the presidency. This is a good plan.
I'm in for Benji Molina.
Yeah, who isn't, right? And then other people can sort of, who have, like, those other random Molinas who are not related.
Not part of the family.
Yeah, they can also sort of be like, well,
jump on that bandwagon.
Molina. Yeah, that's the theory.
Well, Benji did come out with a book this year. That's normally what you do when you start running for office.
Ooh, wow. Some intrigue. A little political intrigue in the Molina family. You better watch out, Yachty, if you do want to run for president. There may be some
start writing
rivalry.
Brothers primary? A brother's primary?
They're going to have their own primary when the family has to vote. And then he...
Molina primary.
Yeah. It's like St. Louis and the family. They
St.
All
Louis
together.
Straw poll. Just them.
So, guys, now, Ian, because you won the Cup 4 Pop Quiz, you get to go second here.
Oh.
So...
Not last?
No, not last. I get to go last. Because I...
I didn't know any
I
of the
bestow,
words.
I
you
bestow...
You have to write them down on the back of a piece of paper.
I bestow all the knighthoods on people, so... That means that I'm clearly in charge. Do you want me to go first?
You can't see, but Dakota still has his powdered wig
offered.
On and is holding a knighting sword.
I am. Okay, I'm going to go first just because I was challenged to go first. So the plan now is that we're going to sum up the podcast into 140 characters. One tweet that gives a summary of the entire conversation that we have had today. I normally don't go first, and I'm going to now. So here we go. Everybody, gather around. It's time for my tweet. Hashtag Nats Racing President. At Richard Nixon. I don't know if that's at Richard Nixon, comma. No comma. Let's erase the comma. Hashtag Nats Racing President at Richard Nixon is an honorary founding father and a baseball fan.
Yay!
I'm sorry, everybody. That's definitely... I want to take a moment to apologize to you listening.
That's definitely a tweet.
That took about 45 seconds. That's 45 seconds of your life that you're not getting back.
Did you steal that from, like, Horse eBooks?
Yeah, that's
a weird Twitter joke.
That's exactly what I did.
Just a joke for Twitter.
Yeah. So again, I want to apologize for taking your time, and you will never get it back. Sorry. All right, Gemma, you get to go now.
Okay. New Nats Racing President? LBJ. I liked yours. I'm just doing that.
Thanks.
And then baseball president? Hashtag Cutch for America.
Ooh, I like that hashtag. That's a good hashtag.
Thanks.
All told, that tweet was way better than mine.
It was still not good, but it was definitely better than yours.
Yeah. All right, Ian, you have to save us. This has been rough.
Don't worry, team. Put you on my back. I got this.
All right.
Tweet. Remember Salvi at whatever Salvador Perez's handle is. I think he's on Twitter, right?
Yes, yeah.
At Salvador Perez. Remember, when you sign your first executive order, make it the biggest signature possible.
Ooh,
that is a good one.
That was really good.
Would retweet.
All right,
Dakota and I would both delete ours after a minute.
I would delete my entire Twitter account.
Delete Twitter.
That.
Shut down all of Twitter.
Yeah, I'd sneak into the office and be like, nope, pull the plug. It's one plug. That's how it works.
Yeah.
If you have a tweet that summarizes the podcast better than us, which you do, please tweet it at us with hashtag cut4cast, at cut4. You can follow us at cut4. You can read all of the veritable cornucopia of material that we produce for you on a day-to-day basis at mlb.com/cut4. You can subscribe to this podcast on iTunes. And while you're there, you can review us and rate us. We actually got a review that I forgot to print out and bring in this week.
Oh,
I apologize.
Waiting all week.
I believe that the user's name is Madrizzle, and we will bring in next week. And we will read it next week, your review. It was a 5-star review. Thank you.
Thanks.
But if you want to also have your review read on the Cut4Cast, please write it. We'll even read the negative ones, to be honest with you.
We're hoping.
Well,
I expect to get a lot of commentary about my decision to have Michigan annexed by Canada.
1-star. Dakota wasted my 45 seconds.
Yeah. 1-star. Gemma likes Tim Hortons way too much. Calm down.
Yeah, so please go to iTunes, rate, review us, subscribe, and if you subscribe, we will show up in your phone every week, and you'll be thrilled to see us, and if not, you'll write us a 1-star review, and that'll be perfectly fine. I just want to say thank you for listening. We really enjoy doing this every week. We enjoy having you as part of the show, listening to us every week. We enjoy hearing from you on Twitter and on iTunes, so please keep those coming in. We really like being able to talk to you each week. I know Ian specifically does. He's making a face as though he
absolutely does.
Yeah. So thank you so much for your time, and we'll talk to you next week.